This ministry is supported by the members and friends of First Unitarian Church of Des Moines. If you would like to support future podcasts, go to www.ucdsm.org to make your contribution.
Once upon a time, at a Sunday service in one of the large Unitarian churches in Boston, a man was making quite a fuss in the last pew. The minister would say, "We are held by the spirit of life and love," and the man shouted, "Amen." A few minutes later, the minister said something else, and this time the man shouted, "Hallelujah." One of the ushers discreetly approached the man and spoke to him, saying, "Sir, we just don't do things like that here." The man replied, "But I got religion." And the usher said, "Well, you certainly didn't get it here." So if you wanted to get religion or even understand it, what's the first question you ask? What do you believe? I was raised a Catholic, like some of you perhaps, and the creed we recited Sunday after Sunday was clear about what Catholics believe. The teachings of the church also made it clear that believing these things was a matter of life and death, as well as life after death. We weren't encouraged to ask questions, but to accept what we were told. In Catholic grade school, I was a very curious child and full of questions. When I raised my hand, I can only imagine what the nuns were thinking. Either I was a demon sent to trouble them, or else they were simply praying that I would go down the street to the UU church where I belonged. It took a lot of years, but I finally answered their prayers the day I attended my first Unitarian Universalist service. By the end of that service Sunday morning, 20 years ago now, I knew I had found my spiritual home because I was encouraged to ask questions and told I have the freedom to search for truth that spoke to my heart rather than being told what to believe. Did you have that same experience when you first discovered Unitarian Universalism? If this is your first time in a UU church, is this a surprise or a revelation for you? Freedom from creeds, doctrine, and dogma is a core element of our faith. Our fourth principle affirms a free and responsible search for truth and meaning. The freedom each of us has to walk our own spiritual path presents a challenge, though. People misinterpret what that means. Just a few days ago, when I introduced myself to someone as the local Unitarian Universalist minister, the response was, "Oh, yes, the Unitarians. You're those people who can believe anything you want to." So, if you're ever wondering what goes through a minister's mind, it's often snarky. So, two responses came to mind. The first was grammatical and academic in nature. We're Unitarian Universalists. Kindly note that Unitarian is a modifying adjective for the noun Universalist, and please use both words. And the second equally tempting response, actually, most people don't know this, but once you're part of the inner circle of UUs, we gather in secret to worship the flying spaghetti monster. We seek truth, meaning, in the perfect red sauce. My actual reply was quite restrained and came along with an invitation to come find out what we're really about. So when someone visits and asks, "What do you believe?" we usually don't have a simple answer. A fairly standard reply will be a laundry list of what we don't believe. If you've wrestled with this question, and I hope each one of you have, perhaps you've worked out a catchy elevator speech, which is best used if first there's an elevator, or second, there's a bar where you can invite someone to join you for a drink, because explaining Unitarian Universalism is going to take a while. There's a desire to capture the essence of Unitarian Universalism in a short, elegant statement that's always been part of our tradition's struggle for identity. Reverend David Bumbaugh, one of our ministers, writes, "There seems to be a hunger among us to find a quick and easy way to formulate the essential elements of our gospel, a confessional statement, if you will, which captures the central truth of our tradition." He goes on, "And yet throughout our history, every effort to define the core of our faith in terms of such a statement has failed to generate the unity, the coherence, the sense of clarity we seek. Whether we're talking about William Channing Gannett's Things Commonly Believed Among Us, or the theological work of Thomas B. Thayer or Aurelio Cohn in the 19th century, or the work of Henry Nelson Vyman and James Luther Adams in the 20th century, or even, as he says, our currently hallowed, sanctified seven principles. Every effort to provide that confessional answer to the question of what is at the core of our faith has caused conflict and disagreement. Peter Morales broadens this struggle with his contention that when belief is codified in any religious tradition, it becomes the enemy of religion. The first reading is an excerpt of a sermon from 2012 in which Morales wrote this. Every major religious tradition seeks to instill in us a sense of wonder, mystery, awe, compassion, gratitude, and humility. Creeds stop this cold. Once we think our religion is about being right, once we think we have all the answers, we become arrogant, belligerent, and defensive. Just look at what happens when a belief system takes center stage. What follows can be horrible. First, we categorize those who do not agree with us as either ignorant or evil. If we have the truth and are certain we have it, then our task in life becomes spreading this truth. Our task also becomes defending the truth from all of those who disagree. And he concludes by saying, believers have enemies everywhere. The world becomes a battleground. The second reading hits too close to this truth. There is very real danger that differences in belief can pose to those who do not conform to a particular ideology. Both history and the news are a frightening list of the atrocities committed in the name of beliefs. I want to be clear that Peter Morales is not telling us to abandon our beliefs because that's impossible. Beliefs along with knowledge are ways we hold that help us make sense of the world and shape our behavior. Austin Kline says that everything you do can be traced back to beliefs you hold about the world, everything from brushing your teeth to your career to your religion. Unitarian Universalism is not free of beliefs. One of your members pointed out to me in an email this week that our UU's seven principles are actually beliefs. Is the word affirm really different than the word belief? Other than the seventh principle, the interconnected web of all of existence of which we are a part, which has been demonstrated by quantum physics, the principles are aspirational statements, a vision of what we believe the world should be and what we hope for, rather than a reality. Morales is being prophetic by warning us not to get trapped by our beliefs, not to turn them into an eternal, unchanging creed that closes our eyes and our hearts to new truths and new possibilities that are waiting to reveal themselves to us. He is all too aware of what David Bumbaugh points out. In spite of our fear of dogma and our best attempts to remain doctrine-free, to the point, as one writer says, of being dogmatic about it, we have not been able to avoid the truth that beliefs can cause. So if someone asks you about the Unitarian controversy, the correct response is, which theological controversy in which century? In this country, universalism split in the 1840s over the question of whether eternal bliss occurred immediately after death or there was a period of restoration prior to entering the pearly gates. In other words, will you go directly to heaven or do you have to go to a discussion group about heaven first? If we're honest, most of us would choose the discussion group. In many of our congregations, the battle lines are still drawn between theists and humanists. We argue over religious language, especially the language used in worship, which itself is a word that causes arguments. We spend countless hours wordsmithing our bylaws and our policies and our statements of conscience. Restroom colors, which are as much a reflection of beliefs as anything else, are more important than making sure those restrooms are safe and welcoming for transgender people. These are not fights worth having. In her sermon during the Sunday morning service at General Assembly in Columbus this year, Nancy Carrier Ladd said, "It is time to move past the fake fights. Time to stop letting our differences divide us and distract us from the real work to be done in the world. That real work is what Unitarian Universalism and religion is really all about. The search for what is ultimately important, those things that are worthy of our love and our entire lives. In the first reading, you heard Peter Morales say, when the conversation shifts from what we believe to what we love, we begin to ask life's deepest questions. What do we love so much that we are moved to tears? What gives us unspeakable joy? What brings us peace beyond understanding? What do we love so much that it calls us to action? What do we care about so deeply that we willingly, joyfully devote our lives to it? Our concern at the personal level becomes one of developing our awareness, he goes on to say, of spiritual disciplines of growth. At the interpersonal level, our attention turns to loving relationships. Finally, our attention turns to issues of compassion, justice, and interdependence. To Mr. Morales' questions, I would add one more. Is there anything we love enough to die for? These powerful questions have the potential to help us discover our shared values as human beings and to overcome our differences. Morales continues, when we ask one another what we love, we discover that we love the same things. We realize that we need one another. We want to be compassionate and gentle with one another. We want to raise children who are kind, joyful, and responsible. We aspire to create a religious community where we can come to know one another more deeply. We want to create a place where we can cry together, laugh together, sing together, learn together, and act together. We want a place where we can come together to remind ourselves of what is truly worthwhile, and we want to make a difference in the world. These are still beliefs. They are statements of what we hold to be true or desire to make real. But they are not stories of God heroes, reformations of reformations, or interpretations of sacred texts that create divisiveness, exclude some as others are privileged, or incite violence toward others. These are expressions of the universal yearnings of the human heart to be loved and accepted, to be included and valued as a part of the great human family. What do you love? What do you love? What a beautiful, powerful question that seeks to discover and name the best in ourselves and in this community and to inspire a vision of the best possible future. What a great question for creating deeper, more meaningful relationships in every aspect of our lives. If you've been looking for a unique conversation starter in any setting, imagine asking, what do you love? Try it in the social hall with the person standing alone wondering if anyone is going to talk to them. What if your check-in at a meeting started by inviting each person to share what they love? How would this question change the conversation at your dinner table and the time you spend with friends? When you're looking for common ground with someone radically different than yourself, what if you began the conversation by seeking to know what they love? Imagine how such an approach might open new possibilities in our interfaith work if we can discover the values we hold in common with others rather than focusing on our differences. What if we really got religion? What if Unitarian Universalists, all 200,000-ish of us, became a people brought together by what we love rather than what we believe? What if we put aside the fake fights about paint colors and religious language and engaged in deep, powerful, real conversations about our shared values and what we love? The possibilities are breathtaking. We could really be a spiritual home where people are truly able to be themselves, knowing they are loved and accepted just as they are. we could be a loud and clear public voice that calls all people back into reverent relationship with the earth. We could lead the work of social justice and begin to heal the world through our ability to bring together diverse groups of people into coalitions that could create real change. We could help each other grow spiritually and become the best persons we are capable of being. We could truly be the religion for the 21st century. And my own belief is that we can do this. May religion be to us life and joy, a beacon of hope that burns brightly in the world. May we ask and discover together what it is we truly love. And may that love guide us as our journey toward the life we dream of and yearn for continues. May it be so, and it is together that we can make it so.